Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In December, I visited Afghanistan and Pakistan thanks to a media grant from the Asia New Zealand Foundation. In Afghanistan, I followed a chap by the name of Tony Woods, an engineer who specialises in renewable energy projects around the world. Bahrain, Kuwait, Vienna, Mongolia, Twizel and Karachi. And that's just in the last year. In Afghanistan, Tony is building a wind farm in the Panjshir Valley, 2 hours' drive north of Kabul.
Well, the punch is, it's, I love it actually. It's historically quite a well-known valley. It's part of the Pawan province. Militarily it was the home of Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was the line of Panjshir. He was one of the Mujahideen that was fighting the Russians and what have you, and then ended up being a large part of the Civil War in Afghanistan as well. But yeah, the Panjshir Valley was never actually taken by the Russians. They occupied it a couple of times when Massoud withdrew, but they never actually defeated him militarily. So yeah, interesting place.
And why did you choose this as the site for your first project?
We'd been doing wind monitoring with the Asian Development Bank in different regions around Afghanistan. 2003 and 2004, and the Panjshir was one place that we put up some monitoring towers. So we actually had hard data on what the wind speeds were. So the local PRT or provincial reconstruction team noted that the wind speeds looked viable, and proceeded to free up some of their funding for electrification to fund a project, and we were one of the bidders that put a bid in.
Well, that's good. Yeah, hopefully.
Cell phones are the only reliable way of communicating in Afghanistan, and Tony and his team are constantly updating each other on progress, on today's latest delays, and most importantly, requests for vital provisions.
Out of cigarettes? Oh, yeah. Okay, what flavour smokes do they take? Oh, we should get the Qayyum fired up. Did Yakubu turn up with that? Not yet. Okay. Beer. We searched high and low for beer, couldn't find it, but we've got the Russian and American equivalents. Yeah, oh, actually, if we can find some in Bagram, we're just going down to Bagram, so if we can find some, we'll pick it up there.
A wind farm might sound like a good thing to do for the environment, but here in Afghanistan, it's not about being green. Small, sustainable generation is the only real option.
You know, it's something like 90% of Afghanistan, it's actually slightly more than that, don't have access to the national grid. You know, we can build as many grid-connected power stations or wind farms as you like, but if 90% of the population aren't anywhere near a power pole, it's, you know, it's missing a lot of the population. So, by default, you're down to looking at the best way to deliver small amounts of electricity in isolated areas. And, you know, typically when the price of oil was so cheap, that was diesel. With oil nudging $100 a barrel, that's not looking as attractive as it was. So this country has so many issues to deal with that worrying about global air quality or the Kyoto Protocol is pretty, it's a long way down the list of priorities, that's true. However, you know, look, if we look out the car window now, you can hardly see the hills around us because the air quality is so bad. The environmental issues here are certainly not to be disputed, but you know, if you can hardly afford to feed your kids, you're not going to sign up to a green power scheme where you pay a higher price for your power because it's wind power, if you know what I mean. So it's not saying that we ignore the environmental impact, but you've got to be pragmatic, basically.
When it's finished, the wind farm project will provide power to the local government offices. In Afghanistan, the happier and stronger the local government is, the more stable the country. And like all construction, there are other benefits too.
I am Yakobi, the director of this company, and right now I have 60 or 70 laborers. They're busy, they're working on the wind power, and they can support their family by making this money by being used over here, and like this project, many projects in Panjshir Valley.
it's good for the labourers.
Exactly,
sure.
It's good for labourers, for us, for many people.
Progress on the construction site, thousands of feet above the Punchia Valley floor, has been slow. A broken winch here, equipment delays there. Tony has decided to move things along a bit.
We're getting behind in our schedule, so what we're going to do is hire a crane for a day, and rather than assembling the tower sections vertically, one at a time, we're just going to bolt them all together on the ground, and then get a crane to come along and pick them up and stand it up. So we'll get at least two-thirds of the tower just stood up by the crane, and then we'll just have to climb up and stack the rest of the sections manually. But
does hiring a crane and getting it to drive up here present any problems with making sure that you've got the right sort of crane for the job, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it does, really. You need a crane that can carry a certain amount of weight and lift it for a certain height. And we can specify to the crane drivers what we need, but exactly what turns up is another issue. But yeah, access to this site's pretty difficult, as you've seen. You know, the road's pretty poor, so we assumed that we were going to have to climb each tower, but as it turns out, they can get a small crane up here that we think is enough to lift two-thirds of the tower in one hit. So yeah, that's going to save us a lot of time if it can make it up the road.
Get you back on track.
Inshallah.
Tony's brought two Kiwis with him to help on the project. Emma Cole works for Statistics New Zealand, but has taken some time off to try out something new.
I'm actually here on holiday at the moment to basically have a go and see how I cope working with Tony in a strange environment. Development work's what I've always wanted to do.
How's it going being a blue-eyed blonde in Afghanistan?
I've had to get used to being stared at a lot, and even more so once I'm doing some work.
Like Tony, Greg is from Timaru and is more used to putting up solar panels on lifestyle blocks in Canterbury. I talked to him as we walked down the steep mountain track together after a hard day's work.
It's a learning curve, you know, that is. It's just the logistics here are just, completely unpredictable. Short supplies, everything. A lot of wheeling and dealing and, getting through roadblocks, bribery, people asking for bribes. But it's,
How do you get on with the Afghans?
I love them. They're incredible people, they really are. They're quite ingenious. Hospitality is like, it's gobsmacking. Yeah, and they're great sense of humour, just lots of laughter. And you're constantly a guest when you're with an Afghan person.
At night, the engineers sit with us, playing cards, telling jokes, and when none of their more devout friends are watching, drinking vodka. In the morning, we all wake with hangovers to a breakfast of dry naan bread. Worst news, Tony's shortcut is starting to look like a bad move.
You're waiting on a crane.
The crane that was due to be here an hour ago isn't, well, it's halfway here, so it'll turn up just on dark, I'd expect. But at least we'll get started first thing in the morning. We may get a little bit of work done this afternoon, I hope. But yeah, I mean, like with the first few flakes of snow coming down this afternoon, I mean, you know, we might wake up tomorrow morning to a foot of snow, who knows? So we're pretty motivated to get the crane up on site.
The crane eventually turns up, almost a day late, but as predicted, it's not what was promised. Driving me back to Kabul, Tony's interpreter, fixer and general man on the ground, Akmal Wadak, explains.
So that guy, the crane guy, he said that so as boom off, as crane is, will go up to the 12 meters, but so it's about 9 meters. So it's a problem, so we couldn't do the job today, and so maybe tomorrow I'll find another big crane to send to the pine shear for the site to do the job. So just we waste the time today, and it's difficult. Maybe tomorrow I'll negotiate with that guy to pay maybe half amount of his charges, but he will ask me for full charges. He will charge full, all amount. But we'll see tomorrow what to do with that guy.
You heard it right. The crane is 3 meters shorter than the driver promised and is no use. But in Afghanistan, he'll still be paid something for just turning up. The alternative is having the police brought in. Not ideal for anyone. While I listen to the radio, the only word that stands out is Taliban, Akmal works the phones, trying to find another crane. But it's no use. The snow falls heavily overnight, and the next morning, more than a foot covers the site. the wind farm must be put on hold until the snow melts in spring, when Tony will return to bring power to the Punshire. If you'd like to hear more about Tony's work here and overseas, check out this month's North and South magazine. And you'll be happy to know the wind farm was completed just last week. Coming up after the break, we talk to Stephanie Johnson from the Auckland Readers and Writers Festival and Samuel Flynn Scott of the Phoenix Foundation.